My name is Michelle Owu and I'm carrying out this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust. The purpose of the research is to compile a contemporary portrait of the UK. The date is the 23rd of July 2009 and the time is now 12:49 a.m. Could you tell me please your name, your age and where you come from?
My name is Anouk Govras and my age is 25 years old. Where I come from is a bit more complicated. Basically, I'm half Greek, half English, but I grew up in Luxembourg and I moved to Britain to do my studies. My studies first in Bangor for marine zoology and then in Liverpool on parasitology, and now I'm doing a PhD at Imperial College.
What's the PhD in?
It's on a parasite called schistosomiasis, which infects 200 million people, and it's mainly in Africa, Asia, and South America. It's a parasite that infects the liver and the bladder. That's it, really.
Just going back to what you said at the beginning, so you're half Greek.
Yeah.
Where do your parents come from?
My father was from Athens. And my mum also had a mixed background. So she, I think she was born in Libya, but she moved to the UK when she was a girl. And she's a bit of a Greek-Italian-English mix, really. But she grew up in London.
Yeah. And you grew up in Luxembourg?
In Luxembourg, yeah.
And what was that like?
Very, very nice. Well, very boring as well. And Luxembourg is very protected and very pretty. Good place to have a family. But if you're a teenager, you get bored very quickly.
Yeah. When did you move to the UK?
I moved in 2002. That's when I started my first degree. Yeah.
And where are your parents living now?
Well, my father passed away 3 years ago. And my mum's still living in Luxembourg, but at the moment she's in Tanzania climbing Mount Kilimanjaro. So yeah, I hope she's doing well.
Is that something she's always wanted to do?
No, not really always wanted to do, but I think after my father died, she decided that she wanted something to... She did do quite a... She went to Madagascar as well on a trek, and then somebody suggested climbing Mount Kilimanjaro, and she had to have it a go, so she's really good and we've all supported her for it and she's been training up to it. Yeah, brilliant.
Do your family and friends know that you're taking part today?
Yes, yeah, they all know.
What's been their reaction?
They're all wishing me luck, which is why I still have my mobile phone with me, because people are still texting. My cousin in Leicester is watching this online and is waiting for me to go on the plinth, and she was an art student and now she's doing a post-production master's. So she knew all about this when I told her I was doing this. She was, oh yes, of course. I was like, oh, okay, I didn't know so much. My granny unfortunately doesn't stay up until 2 a.m. so she's waiting for me to send her photos. My family in Greece are also waiting for photos as well, and there's some friends of mine that stay up later that are waiting to see me on there. Yeah.
How did you first hear about the project?
Well, in the office, I share an office with a friend of mine, Poppy, and she heard about it through a friend of hers, and she said, oh, why don't we register? And I thought, okay, might as well register. I never get drawn in raffles and things like that, so it'll be fine. And we both registered and I got drawn, which was rather weird. She's off to Ghana actually today, so yeah. So she wouldn't have been able to make it.
How did you feel when you heard that you had a place on the plinth?
Really surprised, and after it kind of sunk in, really nervous as well, because I hadn't given a thought of what I was going to do. I'd just immediately assumed that I wasn't going to get it, so yeah, then I suddenly thought, oh god, what am I going to do? And I thought, well, you don't get an opportunity like this very often at all, do you? So might as well try and do something that I enjoy and that, you know, will be fun.
Can you describe what you're wearing for me?
Okay, I'm wearing a 7mm wetsuit, or semi-dry, and it's all black, and once I've put it on completely, because it's really hot, once I put it on completely, I also have the hood on top, and then I have a little snout that I've made from a water bottle cut in half with some whiskers, which I shall put on, and I'll be a seal. I also have some fins I've made from cardboard.
Why have you chosen to dress as a seal?
It's part of what I'm going to do on the plinth. I've got some props. The Marine Conservation Society have sent me some props, and I'm hoping to bring the underwater world to the surface and sort of put up some fish and some paper mache fish and some paper mache kelp and seaweed, and make it look a bit like what's under the water, what's under British waters, in fact, to sort of raise awareness about how important seas are and how much we've got to protect them.
Why is this subject particularly close to your heart?
I've always loved the sea. Every summer I went to Greece, and I adored the sea there, and I adored the sea life there, always snorkeling and playing in it. I'd never been in the sea in the UK until last year, when I went diving and I joined a dive club, University of London, and went and did my first UK dive, which was really, really cold compared to Greece. And then I went on a second dive, and it was cold still, but I saw a kelp arc, which is when you get these beautiful kelp, almost like a kelp forest, and you see lots of animals, lots of fish swimming in between the kelp, and you see spider crabs crawling along, and sea cucumbers, and it's really beautiful, and the sun was shining through the water and through the kelp forest, and it was gorgeous. And then I thought, well, British coast has a lot to offer, and it's got some of the best wreck dives as well, which my first wreck dive was quite awe-inspiring. I dived the Scylla in Plymouth, which is a relatively new wreck, and I've dived it twice. The first time was actually different from the second time, because every time you dive it, a new colony of animals takes over the wall. So the first time you dive it, you might see a colony of anemones and things that look purple or white. Next time you dive it, it might be a slightly different colour with slightly different animals in it, and it's really quite impressive to see. A bit scary at first, because it's a man-made object, a huge man-made object under the water, but you see that the fish are using it as a habitat. Since then I've been diving in Devon, in Cornwall. Went on a beautiful dive on the Persia where we saw sea cucumbers that were spawning, and that was quite amazing. Yeah.
Can you describe that for me?
A spawning sea cucumbers. Well, the Persia is quite a deep wreck. Well, for me, obviously, for more experienced divers, it isn't, but it's like 30, 35 metres down. And it wasn't very dark, probably because it was a nice day outside. And when we got down there, we just noticed a lot of sea cucumbers, which are just like black slugs on the seabed. And there were loads of them all over the place, and you don't normally get that many. They're solitary animals. And they were all, normally they'd lie on the ground horizontally, but they were all standing up in a cobra-like position, and all were facing in the same direction with their heads all opened up, and they were sort of white on the inside, and there was sort of a white gunk, really is the only way to describe it, coming out of them and into the current, which was flowing against the way they were facing. And it was just amazing to see. There's just so many everywhere you looked, all these sea cucumbers in a cobra-like position. And then there was some pink sea fans, which are actually kind of rare in UK waters. They're a type of coral. And there were lots of little bib and pollock as well, lots of pollock, which is really nice to see. Unfortunately, no cod, because cod are in dire conditions right now. There are not a lot of them left. So hence why I want to raise awareness about things like overfishing and pollution and how important, you know, people don't really realise how important the UK coast is. It's a really biodiverse environment. Very, very, very important. Yeah.
What impact do you hope that your time on the plinth will have?
Probably not a huge impact, but I think it will have a little bit. So maybe some people that are interested in art but might not know so much about the marine environment, they might find something interesting there. I know for people who are interested in the marine environment, like Marine Conservation Society, they're going to hopefully send out some photos of my time on the plinth in their newsletter. And they're quite excited about it. I'm hoping it'll make some impact. Some people think about the marine state of the marine areas in the UK. Yeah.
What do you think it was that particularly inspired you to take part in this project?
Mainly that you don't get an opportunity like that, you know, and you don't really get the chance to stand up in front of people and have people listen to you, to what you have to say or what you have to share. You don't get that at all often, if ever, you know. So I thought that it's not an opportunity you should miss, and if, you know, if you're lucky enough to get the chance, then do the best you can, really, whatever you feel you can share or you'd like to share. I think only something good would come from it, really.
Yeah. How would you describe yourself as a person?
I don't know. those are difficult.
What were the three adjectives you chose for the blog? Can you remember?
Yeah, I think independent, caring, and head in the clouds. So, yeah. I do have my head in the clouds. I am independent, but that's probably because I know I have friends and family that I can count on, so that sort of empowers me to be independent. And I'm caring, not only about the marine environment, but about people as well. And head in the clouds, yeah, I do have my head in the clouds. Sometimes I need someone to sort of remind me that it's not, you know, what you want to do now isn't possible, or you'd better do this now, otherwise you won't have time to do that. I'm really bad at time. I'm always late meeting people. I daydream a lot. But I think most people do that. That's it.
What goes through your mind when you're on a dive?
Obviously it depends on the dive, but the first time that I tried it, I was in Greece, and I really liked the fact that it was, firstly, a world I'd never seen before, and then all the animals that were down there. That it was very, very quiet and sort of allowed me to think or not think as I pleased and just watch whatever is going on. Didn't have to make conversation or busy myself with something, or 'cause I think we're very much used to, even when we're sitting down watching TV, we will be doing something, or you know, cooking at the same time or writing something or sending emails. We're always doing things, and you never just sort of sit down and don't do anything. And when you're on a dive, you do have the opportunity to do that. Of course, though, when you go on deeper dives, you've got to think about your safety. So safety always comes first. So you've got to always be aware that you're keeping, you know, checking your oxygen, your air levels, checking how deep you're going and how long you've been, all these things, and also where your buddy is, your diving buddy. So that maybe deeper dives in a sense are less relaxing, but that doesn't mean that they're not just as rewarding as shallower dives where you can switch off a little bit. I normally, when I go on a dive, it's kind of because the whole hassle of putting on your gear, preparing the cylinders, putting on the cylinder, getting into the boat, making sure the boat has everything, it's really stressful. So when I'm finally in the water, going down to whatever depth we've decided on, just sort of looking around, I sort of just think that yes, it's definitely worth all this. It is worth my weekend. It is worth all the hassle of getting here, all the hassle of putting up the tents and all this and getting the equipment ready, because it's just incredible. It's incredible that I can see this place right now.
How does that balance out with your working life?
Well, I'm a student. I'm a PhD student, so I've probably got a little bit more flexibility in terms of time. I don't know how that's going to affect how that's going to change when I get a job. It can be a little bit difficult because I want to balance the research that I do, and sometimes I have to go to Africa for a month, collect data, and sometimes I have to be in the lab quite late at night. So balancing that work, balancing seeing family, and then also going away for a whole weekend on a dive trip. It's a bit harder. Luckily, my boyfriend is a diving instructor, and he's the one who's more keen on diving than, maybe not more keen than me, but he needs to be in the water quite regularly. So I get to share that with him, which is brilliant. But he's more experienced than me, so we try to go in a club that he's put a lot of work into, and that way he gets to dive with some people that can go a bit deeper, a bit longer, use equipment that I haven't learned how to use yet, and I can go with a set of people that are a bit at my level and might not want to, you know, penetrate a wreck and go into scary places and just want to float around and see what kind of animals are stuck onto a wreck rather than going inside. So
which countries do you travel to in Africa when you go abroad?
I've been to Niger, which is West Africa, just above Nigeria, quite often. I think I've been 3 times, about a month each. It's a really dry, arid place, but there is some vegetation around the Niger Valley, which is where they do like rice cultivation things. And I've been to Kenya twice, I think. No, Kenya 3 times, yes. Which is also fantastic. I think I probably feel a little bit more affinity towards sort of Kenya than I do towards Niger. But I've made brilliant friends in both places. I think the thing about Kenya is that it's next to the sea, so I can go diving. And I actually saw a turtle last time I was there. I went diving. I saw loggerhead, I think they were. I might be wrong. I'm not so good with identification. That was fantastic. They were completely ignoring us. So they didn't even react to the fact we were there. They were just chilling at the end of next to the reef and ignoring us swimming just above them. That was really nice. Niger, on the other hand, is a landlocked country. But there are some really nice things to see in Niger as well, and some very, very lovely people. Yeah.
Is there anything else you'd like to say?
Don't know, really. I think so. I'm looking forward to being on the plinth. got friends and family out there that are waiting for me, which is really nice of them that they've stayed out so late. About 11 o'clock they were talking about having a coffee. I'd like to thank everybody here and thank you for all the work you've put in. It looks really well organised. I'm sure I'm going to have fun. thanks to one another and to Anthony Gormley. It's a great idea. I think it's a really good idea.
Thank you very much.